Good morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Let's begin with prayer. Dear God, thank you for the way that you provide for us another day to bring you praise, to bring you glory and honor. We thank you for the privilege that it is to serve you. Open the word to our hearts today, that we would again be able to receive what you have for each one of us. Strengthen us and encourage us as we partake together in this bread as it is of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servant of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go then and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And this morning, the title of the message is "The Kingdom of Heaven is Like." The kingdom of heaven is like. And in these next few verses in Matthew 13, Jesus tells us what the kingdom of heaven is actually like. This is a great thing. The Son of God, who came from heaven, is actually telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like wheat and tares. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is like leaven. It is a treasure hidden in the field. It is a pearl of great price. And the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. This is strange stuff here. To be all like the kingdom of heaven. And I thought this was going to be enlightening, you know, to hear from Jesus himself what the kingdom of heaven is actually like. And at first glance, this does not even look like anything you would picture as the kingdom of heaven. And these stories do not even really flow together or seem to have a common theme. And yet Jesus says they're all like the kingdom of heaven. How can this be? And I was very perplexed as I read this passage a few years back. I was preparing to teach the youth Sunday school here, and I didn't get it. I could not complete how all of these parables were the kingdom of heaven. And I asked God to help me with this understanding, especially with this passage, because it didn't make sense to me on the surface. Did you know God wants you to ask him when you don't understand something about his word? He desires that. He can and will show you truth as you study his word. And you may ask others as well. But never forget, God's word is the only book that explains and answers its own questions. That's it. It's the only book. The truth of God's word is in God's word. Amen. And know too that God will never show you or teach you anything that contradicts his written word. And so it is with a humble heart that I bring you encouragement from God's word today. And know that whatever is shared this morning is not to be considered complete. And God's word is alive and speaks again and again and again to us as we listen to his still small voice. And I began to see that each one of these kingdom of heaven is like stories as a little window into the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And we will see in a few minutes, as Jesus himself explains to us the wheat and the tares story, that the stories are about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. These kingdom of heaven stories are like God describing his kingdom. You know, these stories aren't describing heaven above, and I thought that's what it was trying to say, and it didn't make sense. But it's talking about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. You see, the first story of the wheat and the tares is an overview of the whole world. And the rest of the story speak to our hearts. In fact, where is the kingdom of heaven on earth? Have you seen the kingdom of heaven on earth? Where is it? The kingdom of heaven on earth rests in the hearts of mankind. The kingdom of heaven rests in the hearts of Christians. It rests in you here. And I share this encouraging word. I was able to speak with one of the brothers that was here last weekend on the missions conference. One of the brothers that spoke and shared with us. I shared this with Luke, and then he encouraged me to share it with the lay pastors, and it fits into the sermon, and I share it with you. This brother came and he presented more what God shared with him to speak from God's word than he did his mission. I noticed that. And this brother said that there is a spirit here that is rare. He affirmed the spirit of Christ that he saw in each and every one of you. He said, I travel and I go to a lot of churches and it's rare. And he got teary-eyed and he turned away. And that is for no honor for myself. It is because each of you choose to live a Christian life. You choose to have God's grace upon your face. You choose to be witnesses for him in this place and as you leave from here. And I believe truly for most of us here, it's not an act that we perform only on Sunday morning. And I encourage you in that. The kingdom of heaven on earth is in our hearts. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And out in the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And Dave Meyer's sermon reminded of this so practically a few weeks ago. And so I shared this passage from Matthew 13 about all of the kingdom of heaven is like stories with the youth small group last fall. And I asked them to illustrate each of these parables. And so I taped them all up to the wall here across. So our youth group has illustrated each one of these parables. And I put them down low, especially for young ones to come. And you may take a look at them after the service. And I've also taken pictures of them, or attempted to, and put them on overhead, and I'll be calling for them on overhead so that hopefully you can get a better idea from your seats, the illustrations of our parables this morning. So again, follow along as I read again the parable of the wheat and tares in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And his servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And you can put up the first picture of the wheat and the tares. And you can kind of see the wheat with the tares growing up through. And the guy over here peeking in who sowed the good seed. And the bad guy over here who sowed the tares. Our illustration of the wheat and the tares. And so Jesus himself explained this parable. And this is one of the few parables, and this is easy for preachers because here it is. Jesus himself described it. And I will jump down to verse 36 and read Jesus' explanation of this parable. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares and the field." And he answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the son of the kingdom, but the tares are the son of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out all of his kingdom, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now we see in Jesus' explanation, he gives us an overview of the whole world. That we get a picture of the world from Christ until the end of time. We get seven sentences, a very concise understanding of the earth as a field with the good and the bad and God and the devil and our role and the angel's role and eternal rewards and the eternal consequences. In short and to the point. And today, I'm going to weave prayer through these parables. And I'm going to have a prayer at the end of every parable. And so now let's, as we complete this first parable, let's bow in prayer. God, we are thankful that you have showed us the end. God, in this small seven-sentence parable story, you enlighten us to know what's coming. God, what do you want us to do with that information this morning? How do we need to be affected? Because, God, we know what's coming. You share it with us plainly. God, give us a desire for those that are lost. And give us a heart for those who would hear from you. Give us strength to grow, to produce fruit, to be fruitful. Right, God, where you have planted us. You have given each of us a stalk to grow and to do. We thank you, God, that you show us the future as it is in this parable. Give us the strength and the wisdom to make use of what you have shared with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the mustard seed. Verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Okay, you can put up the second picture. It's hard to see, but that little circle is a bunch of little mustard seeds. And these little squeaky lines is a field. And if you look here on the wall, you can see yellow dots, the little mustard seeds in the field, but you can't see it. And there's the tree, becomes a tree by the water, and there's birds. So that's their illustration of this parable. And now, as we open up this parable this morning, lets us remember that this is a picture of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And remember that the kingdom of heaven on earth is found in our hearts. And I see faith as that mustard seed this morning. Faith often starts small. The man in this story took this seed of faith and sowed it in his own fields. Did you see that? That he, right there, verse 31, which a man took and sowed in his own, he sowed in his field. He took this seed of faith and sowed it in his heart, if you will. And it grew. And this seed of faith grew and grew and grew until it became a tree with a root system and a trunk and large branches and leaves of faith that were a comfort and protection for others. I see this story speaking of strong Christians who have rooted themselves in the Word of God and are involved with outreach and evangelism. I see this story of speaking to those whom God has called and gifted to reach the lost, to impact the world around them in bigger ways and spread the news of God's grace and to comfort a hurting and tired world, to provide protection that the world would nest in the branches and the leaves of their faith. Is this you? Is the mustard seed your faith growing into a tree that spreads far around to the benefit of others? Some of you here this morning are like a tree planted by God. And as I was in the prayer room with Brother Luke, and he was praying for me this morning, God brought to mind that there may be trees here that have lost their leaves. There may be trees here who've lost their leaves of faith. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for that you have made us all so different. And right now, God, I pray for those who are strong, who send their roots down deep, who connect with you daily, who draw their nourishment from you alone. For those who have grown in the faith, for those who have reached out in their faith, for those who are comforting and caring for others in their faith. And God, I especially pray for those that may have lost their leaves of faith this morning, that might feel a little empty. God, I pray for them that they would again connect to you. God, it is you who we draw our strength from. And those that don't have leaves right now aren't connected, their roots aren't connected deeply to you. God, I pray for them that they again would flourish, that they again would see and hear and know who you are in such a way that they would again impact the world around them by protecting others, by caring for others. Because God, we cannot give of ourselves until we are full. And God, it is you who fills us. God, I thank you that you have made trees among us this morning. Give them strength, give them wisdom, give them understanding in their busy lives and the many things that they do and accomplish. God, give them strength. Help them to rely on you. Keep their roots strong. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the leaven. Another parable, verse 33, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. You can put up picture number three here and see the illustration. Kingdom of heaven, and there's a loaf of bread and someone's working on it. And there's three bags of flour, and they start over here, and then it's all leavened. They kind of work through it. They're a little timeline. And again, I'll read. It's a short one-verse parable. And another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. So what's a measure? My Bible footnotes 2 pecks. I'm not real familiar with this, so I looked that up, and that's half a bushel, okay? So I wondered, well, help me out here. 2 pecks, so I looked up conversion charts. 2 pecks is 4.65 gallons. So 4.5 little more gallons, if you can picture milk jugs, of meal, okay? So that's a lot. In fact, that sounds like work to me. Kneading leaven into 4.6 gallons of meal. Wow. And again, now this is describing the kingdom of heaven on earth. But this seems like way too much work. This would make you sweat, kneading 4.6 gallons worth of dough. Now, I'm guessing, but 1 loaf of bread, and I didn't ask somebody, I should have, but 1 loaf of bread, the dough, to me looks like a quart. I mean, am I right? It's not that big. It's just a little thing. And you got to work at this to get this leaven in here. You have to work at it. I can't imagine 4.65 gallons. Would you ever get done? You would just work and work and work and sweat, and your arms would get tired and your back would ache. And it would never really look like you were doing anything at all. And for some of you here, and this is your story, for some of you here, this is your story. You may feel like you just pound this Christian life out day after day after day. And it may not feel like you are accomplishing anything at all. And Jesus himself tells you through this story, you are accomplishing his kingdom. You who work out your salvation quietly, as you raise your children, as you guard your tongue, as you love your wife, as you honor your husband, as you respect your boss and his time, as you love your neighbor, as you love your enemies, you are silently working out your faith again and again and again. And brothers and sisters, it is work. You are bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And if this is you, my message for you this morning is don't give up. don't give up. Don't give up, and then don't give up. Keep kneading. You have a few gallons to go yet. Let's pray. Dear God, you have given some of us here with tasks that are almost larger than we can see through. God, there are some people here that their back hurts, their arms ache, and it doesn't feel like they're doing anything at all. God, give them strength. Let them hear from you. God, let them feel your hug as it was this morning, as it is. Let them feel your love, your grace. Let them feel your smile upon them. Give them strength for their journey. God, we can't do this without you. We cannot knead 4.65 gallons of dough and leaven that thing without your strength. It's not going to happen, God. And God, so often it is in our weakness that we find your strength. And I pray that prayer for these people this morning. who are caught in a life that doesn't feel like it changes much. God, encourage them. Meet them in their seat. Let them know that you are with them, even in their task that is daunting this morning. I pray encouragement on those people. I pray strength upon these people, that they would be able to continue and not give up, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the hidden treasure, verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So let's take a look at the illustration, number 4 this morning. So there's the field, that's that long brown line. And the guy finds something, and then he hides it, looks like he buried it. Then he goes, and that's a little money bag, and then he buys that field. And the whole thing's his. So, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So, again, this morning, the kingdom of heaven is on earth for these parables, and it is found in the hearts of you and me. And so what is this treasure in the field? You ever try to hide something in the field? Now, I knew what was coming, so I remembered the background music when we were singing our worship songs this morning. It was just a field with a couple palm trees in the distance, just grass. You ever try to hide something in a field? It's much easier to hide something in the woods. You know, I always thought that he was digging for something, but that's not what it says here. He found a treasure in the field. I mean, it's he was just walking along and boom, there it is. Finding something in a field would just kind of be like happenstance that you walk close enough to find it. Something so valuable that you happen upon, that you sell whatever it takes to buy that field so that the field and all of its contents belongs to you. Now, what could possibly be that valuable? See, now, we have to deduct that this person wasn't poor. And this person obviously did have possessions. And everything he had to sell to purchase what he found. And what on earth would be worth everything that you have? What on earth would have that kind of value? What on earth would you be willing to sell everything you have? And I say this with a little tongue in cheek, but I present to you that he found the fountain of youth. The world and its famous explorers searched far and wide for this hidden treasure, and it was never found. And yet we as Christians have living water and a hope of eternity with God and without time. What is that? That is the fountain of youth. Brothers and sisters, we have the fountain of youth as Christians. We have not just this hope, but we have the promise of eternal life without time. This man walking through the field of his life stumbled upon this truth. And he looked at eternity, and he weighed his options, and he looked at what he had compared to what he found, and he gladly sold all of his wealth of this life for life with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. He made a decision. And for some of you here, this was you. You're ho-humming along, kicking the grass in your life, amassing some possessions, going your own way, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Eternal life. I want that. What's it worth? Everything else? Good trade. I'm in. For some folks here, that's how God called you. That was your kingdom of heaven on earth. You found it. You made a decision. You chose eternity. This find changed your life, and you gladly reprioritized your time and your money and your possessions and your passions. You changed them around on purpose, willingly, and traded them for eternity. You found your treasure hiding in an open field, as it was. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Now, go hide some of that treasure in plain sight for somebody else. Let's pray. God, you call us in so many different ways because there are so many different people that you have created, God. And you know what it takes for each of us to respond. God, I'm thankful that you have made us creatively. And I am thankful that you know us so well. You know us so well that, God, you know, it says in your word, every hair on our head. God, you know us so well. You know what it takes for us to respond to you. And God, there are some here who by chance walked past your truth and saw it and realized it and chose you, God. They chose eternity. They threw away what they had before and they chose to live forever with you. God, there might be some here this morning that are faced with this choice. That in light of eternity, they're not sure where they're going to land. God, speak to them this morning. Begin to open their heart to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the pearl of great price in verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And let's see the illustration from number 5 on the pearl of great price. The guy found a pearl, he got happy, he sold all his stuff, and that's the big pearl. That's him scuba diving with his little weight belt on, you see him snorkeling, I guess. And he found a big pearl and he was excited. So again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And so when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. You know, at first glance, this is the same parable as we just read. I wasn't sure what the difference was until this week. I was meditating on these verses and I just kind of kick them around. My mind's always running somewhere and I try to control it when I preach on the word. So, especially the week before I preach, this is kind of what I immerse myself into. And I was driving down the road with Krista in the car, and she was driving. And I was thinking about this parable. And I was like, well, what's the difference? And I was like, hey. So I pulled out my phone and hit the Bible Gateway app, and sure enough, this first guy found his treasure, seemingly in an open field, as if by chance. But this second guy, what was different about him? He was seeking. He was looking. He was searching for his treasure. This guy had a mission. This guy had a purpose. He had a goal and he was actively pursuing it. You could say this guy was on the hunt. And to grasp completely, you have to rationalize that this fellow knew what he already had was not enough. You have to conclude that this guy understood what he had was not enough. This guy was searching for more. God has placed in some of you this desire or drive, if you will, to seek him more. Some of you hunger and thirst after his righteousness. God has gifted some of you with a greater emptiness or void internally, which compels you to seek and discern Christ more and more. Some of you need more facts than others. This is okay, and part of the way God has made you. Seeking and hunting and searching for truth is a good thing, and God rewards those who seek after Him. And now comes the hard part, the purchase. And this fellow found what he was searching for, but then he had to weigh out if it was truly what he was looking for. Was this really worth everything he had? I think this decision might have been easier for the guy who just stumbled into it and said, yep, hey, there it is. I'm going to go search everything and I can have this. But this second guy was actively looking and searching for this pearl. Searching and searching, and then one day he found it. Now he has to decide if this is the pearl or would there be a better one? Is this you? There's a slight disadvantage for those who are seekers, and it might be the tendency to second guess your treasure. But God is good, and He confirms, and His grace is sufficient. Let's pray. God, again, You have called and You have made us all in so many different ways. And God, You have placed in some of us a desire for more. God, You have placed in some of us a void that only You can fill. You have placed in some of us desire for knowledge, desire for discernment, desire for more of You. And God, it is a good thing. It is a healthy thing. And I pray an anointing on those who have that spot in their heart that only You can fill, God. I pray for them that You again would come and fill it. Again and again and again and over, that they would receive Your nourishment, that they would receive Your comfort, that they would receive Your strength, not just in their heart, but for these folks in their mind, that they would know again and again who You are, the greatness of You alone, God. We thank You for the way that You again have called each of us. And we're thankful that we are each humbly responsible for carrying out the kingdom of heaven as You have given it to us here on earth. Give us the strength to continue in our tasks. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the dragnet in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. And so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you can put up the last picture, number 6. There we go. Now, it takes a little bit of explanation. There's a couple guys in a boat. Looks like the king's in a boat. And they have an anchor out, it looks like. And then he's throwing his net overboard. The net's pretty small. You can see a couple fish in the net. And he's saying something. I'm not sure what it is. The youth kind of have their own language at times. You might remember that. But he's definitely saying something. He's being active. So then, and then over here, there's a tree and it's on the shoreline. And those little brown triangle things are the vessels and they're putting the good stuff in. And then over here, that little orange thing is the flames. And they're putting it in the fire. There we go. So they took out all the stuff out of the net and they brought it to shore and they separated the good and the bad. And so that's our example of the our illustration of the parable this morning. And so as we look at this kingdom of heaven, it's like a dragnet. Again, what do these verses mean? This seems like mostly judgment and condemnation. Notice there is a kind of story in the first two verses, and then it seems like an explanation in the next two verses. The first two verses, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. And then it appears that Jesus gives his explanation here in the next two verses. And so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now this seems pretty well cut and dried. What does this have to do with you and I in the kingdom of heaven here on earth now? This talks about judgment in the furnace of fire. Well, that the lake of fire is a scary thing to think about. In fact, to be honest, that is part of why I'm up here preaching this morning. And see, I went to summer camp as a little short, skinny junior high kid, you know, with big knees. I heard about the lake of fire and eternal separation from God. And I heard what hell was going to be like. And my chair got so hot that I had to get up and I had to come down front. And I gave my heart to Jesus. Not because I knew where I was going, but because I could smell the smoke of hell. And to some of you, that might sound funny. And to some of you, and I suspect more than just a few, that's why you're here too this morning. We don't necessarily know everywhere that we're going in this life, but we know where we're not going to be. Amen? We don't necessarily know every step in our life, but we know where we're not going to be. We're not going to be in hell. Not everyone finds their treasure in a field and just stumbles across it. And not everyone feels the need to seek more truth. Some of us come to heaven because we smelled the smoke of hell. And that's okay. And there is nothing wrong with that. I've asked John to be prepared to lead us in a song with his guitar, a song of invitation. And as he comes, I will finish the sermon and we'll continue on. I have to tell you this morning that for certain, absolutely for certain, there is a day coming in which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody, absolutely everyone. And some will bow of their own accord, and some will be forced to bow. And this tells me that there will be those who have chosen not to follow Christ in this life. And they will be made to confess with their own lips His supremacy. And they will be made to kneel before Him as Creator and God and Lord. And then after their own forced acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord, they will be thrown into the lake of fire and eternal separation from God. Wow. And I ask you, please today, confess Christ as Lord of your life before you're forced to. Because you will. You will. That day is coming. that you will confess Christ as Lord. Do it while you have a chance to on your own. And this will happen either out of joy or regret, but you will confess Jesus as Lord. Say it now. Say it today. And if the thought of hell scares you, it is okay. There is room on our side. Amen. There is room for you. Come to the cross of Christ. Meet your Savior today. And Jesus died to meet you. Would you not take a short walk to meet Him? Jesus died to meet you. Would you not take a short walk to meet Him? If in any of these parables God touched you in a way that you need to respond to Him, the altar is open this morning. This morning, if you come for those reasons, it is between you and the Lord, and no one will come and pray with you. It's between you and God. If you are coming to make a decision for Christ, because if God is calling you and you're not sure still where you're going, but you know you don't want to be in hell, it is absolutely appropriate that you come and meet Christ this morning. And if you come, I will remain here. Make eye contact with me, and I will have someone come and pray with you. Acknowledge that on your way front, just to me, and I'll have someone come and pray with you. But the altar is open for us to respond this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, we are again amazed at the truth of your word. How just some man opening your Bible can speak, as it were, to each one of us. God, your word is truth, and it's alive. And God, there are those here this morning that you are whispering in their ear to come, to come, to come. God, I pray to give them strength to hear your voice. And God, there are those here this morning whose chairs are getting hot. God, there are some here whose chair is getting really hot and it's uncomfortable. God, give them the strength to come and meet you this morning. And there are some here who recognized who they could be and are not yet. God, you welcome them wherever they're at. You are standing with open arms to receive your sons and your daughters from wherever they're at right now. And if you saw just a glimpse of who you might be in Christ, and you want to drive a stake and say, this is where I want to go, this is who I want to become in Christ, please come and make that declaration to yourself, to Christ, to the spirit world around you. God, we are humbled that you love us so much that you gave your Son to die for us. And give us the strength to live out your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you is Christ in me, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, Lord. I need you. Oh, I need you. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need.
Let's pray. Dear God, we are again in awe of you. God, it is you who complete us. We are so thankful, God, that you care for us, that you love us, that you lead us, that you guide us. It is in you who we receive, where we receive our strength, God. We thank you for those who have responded. God, you see them and you know them. You know exactly why they're here before you this morning, God. We are humbled again to know that you care for each one here. Pray that you would minister to them as they have come before you this morning. And pray, too, that we here would take notice and encourage those that have come front this morning, that we could rub shoulders with them in the hallway and next week, and help us to encourage our brothers and sisters on this walk for you, God. Help us to bring your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.